Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for the great things. We thank you for such a great salvation that you planned before the foundations of the world, that you gave to us through your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who gave himself for us. We thank you for such a great forgiveness, Father, your grace, mercy. Thank you that you are long-suffering with us, not willing that any should perish. We thank you for these things. Father, we look in your word today. We look in the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. We look for the lessons that are good for us, Father, in this world in which we live, that we might know how we should act as Christians. And Father, we'd ask you to have your way, your Holy Spirit would minister, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Our book report today is on the book of Ezekiel, if you want to find that back in the Old Testament. Isaiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. Find one of those books, and you'll be close to locating the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel had another sad message for Israel as far as the captivity was concerned, but Ezekiel also had a tremendous message about the future of the nation, that one day God would bring them back into their land, and that they would truly be the light and a testimony to the world. So there was a message there for them of condemnation, but there was also a message of hope, and hope's a good thing. Just historically speaking, because sometimes it's hard to wrap your mind around the history of this. The northern kingdom, the southern kingdom. The northern kingdom went into captivity by the Assyrians. And about 200 years later, the southern kingdom went into captivity by the Babylonians. The Babylonian captivity resulted in three deportations of Hebrews from Jerusalem. The first deportation was under Jehoiakim, when Babylon conquered Israel, Judah in particular, and Jerusalem, and they had to pay tribute to the king of Babylon. So the king of Babylon took some of the wisest of the Hebrews to Babylon, and Daniel was in that group of people that went. That was the first deportation. The second deportation was under Jehoiachin. Get your kins and your chins mixed up. It's like the leaders of North Korea or something. But Jehoiachin, he only lasted 3 months. And then the king of Babylon came and took another group, actually 10,000. And in that group was Ezekiel. And Ezekiel was a priest, but later on he was going to be out of business because the temple was going to be destroyed. But it wasn't destroyed at that time when they were taken into captivity. About 10,000 people arrived to a place called Tel Aviv, which is about 100 miles south of Babylon. And that's where they settled, these people. And it was there that God spoke to Ezekiel, that Ezekiel was going to be the prophet for the nation in exile. That's the story on those two kings. There's a third one, the last one, Zedekiah. Zedekiah rebelled against the king of Babylon. And at that time, the king of Babylon had enough of Jerusalem. He brought his army in, destroyed Jerusalem. There wasn't one brick standing on another brick. He wanted it totally leveled to the ground. And that's exactly what they did. So there are actually three different deportations as far as the nation of Israel was concerned. So you had Jehoiakim, Jehoiachin, and Zedekiah. And I was thinking about that this week, and I said to myself, they are the original three stooges. And the reason I say they were three stooges is because they just didn't have a finger on the temperature of the time. They, along with the people they served, were in a state of denial. They couldn't believe that God would judge them as a nation. They couldn't believe that God would allow their temple, the center of their religious activity, to be destroyed. But prophet after prophet after prophet, decade after decade after decade, century after century after century, warned them of the coming disaster. But they refused to believe it. Denial is an awful thing. So here you have, in Babylon, Ezekiel, and Ezekiel sees a vision of God. Chapter 1. Now I'm not going to go into that because there are wheels and there are faces. And there are animals, and there are all kinds of mysterious things. Some people go in that and they just describe every aspect of it right to a T and That's great. I never could come to that conclusion myself. I just believe that what Ezekiel saw in a few words is the glory of God. And it ended in a rainbow, and Ezekiel saw God's glory. Just read one verse or two here, verse 28. He says, like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around it. That's the vision that he saw. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. So when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking. Ezekiel experienced God's glory in Babylon. Now, God's glory was in the temple in Jerusalem, but it was going to be leaving there. But now Ezekiel sees that in a vision in captivity in Babylon, God's glory. I call this the new birth for Ezekiel. Here Ezekiel, now he's going to become a prophet of God. But he has an experience with God. He has a vision of God. This is the first step in his ministry, an experience with God. I didn't see any visions. I didn't see any wheels turning. I didn't see any animals. I didn't see a rainbow. I didn't see any of that. Some people have that kind of experience. They'd like to talk about that. Sometimes they get on TV and talk about that. I don't know if I believe that or not. What I do believe is this. You have to have an experience with God. Now, my personal experience with God was I heard that the Bible was the Word of God, that it was true. I found out for myself that it was true. I believed it to be true. I believed what it said about me as a sinner. I believed what it said about Jesus Christ as a Savior. I believed what it said about the church. I believed what it says about the past. I believed what it says about the future. That's my experience. That has been my experience. Everybody has an experience of some kind. Your experience might not be like mine, but there are some factors that are the same for all of us. And that is this, the presence of the Word of God. God spoke to Ezekiel. God didn't speak to Ezekiel through Ezekiel because, well, he didn't have Ezekiel yet. He didn't speak through the Gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John, or the book of Revelation. Those books would become part of the canon of Scripture in the future. But God did speak to Ezekiel. But God speaks to us in the present dispensation through His Word. That's how God speaks. If you don't have an experience with God, how can you have a ministry with God? If you don't have an experience with God, how can you serve effectively for God? Paul told Timothy, he said, Timothy, don't forget the faith that your mother had and the faith that your grandmother had. And Timothy, I see the faith that your mother had and your grandmother had. I see that in you. Now, Timothy, this is new here, this church age. And this is how we are to conduct ourselves according to what God has taught me, Paul would say. This is what we should be doing as far as setting up the function of the local church. Six chapters for you, Timothy. In 2 Timothy, more information. And then the church was growing, and Titus and Philemon and Hebrews and James, and more information, more direction from God. But it starts out with that personal experience. You say, well, I never had an experience with God. Well, that's what your greatest need is. Your greatest need is to have an experience with God. Ezekiel had an experience with God. More than a theory. Can't be just a theory. He saw some things and he heard some things. John 15:5, Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit, for apart from me you can do nothing. You have to have an experience. You have to have an experience with Jesus Christ. Psalm 27:4. One thing I have asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. The psalmist said, this is what I want. I want this. I want to be in God's presence. I want to experience God's power for eternity. That's what I want. That's an experience. Jeremiah 29:13. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. If you want God, he's always available. If you want self, well, That's what you'll get. Joshua 1:9. Have not I commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened. Do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. We're not going into the promised land. We're not taking on Jericho. We're not fighting with the Moabites, the Ammonites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, and the Hittites. But we are being saved, have been saved, and we are going into the territory that God has called us to go into. It's a scary place, but we should not fear, for He's with us. He'll deliver us. We just need to keep moving forward. Verse after verse. So that's number one. Number one is an experience. That's in chapter one. Then chapter two is the commission, or I could say the mission. What's the mission? Verse one. And he said to me, Son of man, stand on your feet and I will speak to you. Then the Spirit entered me when he spoke to me and set me on my feet, and I heard him who spoke to me. And he said to me, Son of man, I am sending you to the children of Israel, to a rebellious nation that has rebelled against me. They and their fathers have transgressed against me to this very day, for they are impudent and stubborn children. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, as for them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are a rebellious house, yet they will know that a prophet has been among them. Verse 6, And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, nor be afraid of their words, though briars and thorns are with you, and you dwell among scorpions, do not be afraid. Speak my words to them, whether they hear or whether they refuse, for they are rebellious. But you, son of man, hear what I say to you. Do not be rebellious, like the rebellious house. Open your mouth and eat what I give you. In military terms, those of you who have been in the military, you know that a mission has to be well explained. A mission has to have a purpose. It has to have a goal. It has to have an exit strategy, all that kind of stuff. You know the importance of a mission. Ezekiel, probably somewhere around 30 years of age, was given a mission. Years ago, there was a television series called Mission Impossible. And you know how that one individual received a tape, and on that tape was the whole mission. And after he heard that tape, the tape burnt up. That would never work for somebody like me. I'd be like, whoa, whoa, I didn't hear all that. Something was going by and I focused on that. So that one person had to focus on the whole mission in those few minutes that that tape was playing. And it was always a mission that was impossible. And he would gather all the characters that were necessary in order to accomplish a mission that was, well, impossible. Looking at the mission that Ezekiel was called to, you would have to say to yourself, it's mission impossible. But it was possible for Ezekiel to do it. It's well defined. As a matter of fact, I just read those verses. If you go back over those verses again, you can see the boundaries are well defined. These are the people whom you're going to minister to. This is what you're going to be telling them. Later on, it'd be exactly how that's going to unfold. It's yours, Ezekiel. That's your mission. The fear factor, it's mentioned there in those verses that we read. There's a lot to fear. Can't remove the fear, but you can be controlled by the fear. Fear can't take you away from the mission. Fear is not an excuse not to complete the mission. Most people who are in combat situations will honestly tell you that they were constantly afraid. But the fear didn't take away from the mission. Fear didn't take away from what they accomplished. They had a goal in mind. This is what they were trained to do. This is what they were supposed to do. Ezekiel, this is what you're going to do. This is how you're going to do it. Briars, thorns, scorpions. Israel. Not talking about Babylonians. Talking about Israel. Talking about the nation of Israel in captivity. Their reaction to what you're going to say. Briars, thorns, scorpions. It's not stuff that can kill you. It's stuff that can really hurt you. And you're going to be hurt and hurt and hurt because this is the mission that you're called to complete, Ezekiel. and they won't do what you say. They won't do it. Everything you tell them is not going to change anything. Why do it? I would think. That's not what God says. God says, I'll give them another chance. I'll give them another opportunity. You go tell them. So a prophet, Ezekiel, or a minister, New Testament, like Paul or John or James, or a believer, an individual believer. How do you measure success? You measure success by the numbers? You measure success by the influence you have on other people's lives? Or do you measure success according to God's instrument, which is this? This is what I told you to do. This is where I told you to go. This is what I told you to say. Go there. Say that. You're successful. It's not whether or not people are going to embrace it or reject it. It's what I'm going to do through you as an individual. So it's about you as an individual. Sometimes it's great to see fruit, to see other people coming to Christ through you. It's a wonderful thing. Some people have that privilege. Some people preach, teach, pray, beg, and never see any fruit. But how do you measure it? According to man's standards or according to God's standards? Ezekiel, briars, thorns, scorpions. They're going to reject it. But you tell them that they'll know this. There was a prophet among them. And then he says, if you look back at that passage, warning, don't become like them. Biggest danger, don't become like them. You have to minister to them. You have to live with them. Don't become like them. Like what? Rebellious? It's there, floating around in every one of us. Don't do that. Idolatrous? It's there, floating around every one of us. Don't do that. Disobedience? Sometimes I watch the young ones. We got a few of them around here. A child's mother or father might say something, and the child's expression says it all. When I'm ready, I remember doing that. The funny thing is, I'm still like that. Even coming to God. It's like, I know what God says, but what is that? Not to be 6 years old for that. Can be 70 years old for that. Because it's in me. It's in you. God said to Ezekiel, don't do that. Why would he have to tell Ezekiel, such a prophet of God? We have this whole book about him and his ministry and his life. Why would he have to tell Ezekiel, don't do that? Because it's in him. Just like it was in them. Don't do that. Don't be like them. Big danger. And then he says, in conclusion, take this and eat it. Eat this. I had a little struggle with moose meat. I don't know why. I'm sure I ate a lot of it when I was young, but I didn't want to eat moose meat. So somebody gave us a moose steak, and Paula decided it was time for me to eat moose meat. So she cooked that moose steak. And you know something? It was good. I was really surprised. Take it and eat it. Told that to Ezekiel. Eat what I give you. Now, he wasn't referring to moose meat or deer meat or Texas steer. He was referring to the Word of God. He was saying, Ezekiel, take in the Word of God. Take this in, digest this, and then go out and use this for my honor and glory. That's the commission. Isaiah 55, verse 2. Why do you spend money for what is not bread? And your wages for what does not satisfy. Listen carefully to me and eat what is good and delight yourself in abundance. That's over 2,600 years ago. He was asking people 2,600 years ago, what are you chasing after? What are you investing in? What's the return going to be on that? You want something better? Take in the Word of God. I think at Mountain View Bible Church, we're really trying to get this point across. Going through the Bible in 39 months, I think we're really trying to get this point across. Teaching through the books of the Bible, I think we're really trying to get this point across. That we really need, as Christians a steady diet of the Word of God if we're going to be effective. How many things take up our energy and our time and our resources, and in the end it's going to produce nothing? Jeremiah 3:15, "Then I will give you shepherds after my own heart who will feed you with knowledge and understanding." I will give you shepherds after my own heart. I am so thankful that I was taught by so many good people throughout my life that were there, that were focused on communicating the Word of God, getting it from the page into my brain. Quite a process. And they were provided by God. Now most of them are gone. So you have that experience, and then you have that commission, and this is the third thing, but it's the most difficult thing. You need to go. You need to go. I don't know what that feels like. Warren could tell you what that feels like. You want to be a pilot, and you want to pilot an airplane. The first time, Warren, you're alone in that baby. Nobody beside you. And you're up there. You got to take it up, and you got to bring it down. Did I hear you say you'd never forget it, Warren? Never forget. Quite a thing, isn't it? Because you see, all that you've been told and all that you saw and all that you experienced, now you had to go and prove it. You had to prove that you listened, you practiced, you experienced every experience that they had for you. Now it's time to go and do something with it. That's the Word of God. This is the third thing. Go, chapter 3, verse 4. "Then he said to me, Son of man," what's that two-letter word? Go. "Then he said to me, Son of man, go to the house of Israel and speak with my words to them. For you are not sent to a people of unfamiliar speech or of hard language, but to the house of Israel. Not to many people of unfamiliar speech and of hard language whose words you cannot understand. Surely, had I sent you to them, they would have listened to you. But the house of Israel would not listen to you, because they will not listen to me. For all the house of Israel are impudent, hard-hearted. Behold, I have made your face strong against their faces, and your forehead strong against their foreheads. Like adamant stone, harder than flint, I have made your forehead. Do not be afraid of them, nor be dismayed at their looks, though they are a rebellious house. You go to them." You have to go. Language is a difficult thing. I'd like to be able to speak English properly. I had this stupid idea that I was going to learn French and go be a minister in Quebec. I can't even learn English, and I've been at it for almost 70 years. But here's what he said to Ezekiel. "Ezekiel, if I sent you to a people of different speech, they would listen to what you have to say. I'm sending you to a people that speak the same language that you speak, and they won't listen." Wow. My words, he said, is just taking his words and using his words. I was in Bible school and trying to learn how to put a message together and how to study and what to study and all that kind of stuff. And some guys would be talking and they'd say, "Boy, the Lord gave me a message. Listen to this message." And they had Acts chapter 3, all alliterated. And I was like, wow. So I go to my study. I go into my study and wait for inspiration to come, but nothing happens. Nothing. Nothing came. How come it's coming to them? It's not coming to me. So I had a chance to go and preach at a church. I didn't have anything alliterated. And I thought, if Mr. Dowie preached that, I can preach that. I can't preach as well as he can. But I'll just take his words, his outline, and I'll go there and I'll do that. And you know what? I could. Why did I have to reinvent the wheel? What was I doing there anyway? What was I doing at New Brunswick Bible Institute if I wasn't taking in what these men had to offer and then taking the same words and going out with them? Why did I have to come up with this vision of Ezekiel? No. What they taught me was the Word of God. And guess what? They were taught that by somebody else. Mr. Dowie said, stuff he was taught in the shipyards in Northern Ireland by an electrician, he brought in the Brunswick Bible Institute and taught it to people at the Brunswick Bible Institute. Why can't I do that? He said to Ezekiel, here's the word. You go there and you give him the word. Don't make it up. Don't make it up. Don't come out with a new religion. Don't come out with a new theory. Do exactly what I have given to you. You can do that. Don't be afraid. See, it's the third thing, right? You had the experience, right? You had the mission, and then you have to go. You have to go. I had this weird thing about diving off the high board at the pool for years and years. And I'm like 40 years old. I mean, that's old. And I say to myself, other people do that. And they just jump and go up and they come down head first and they go in the water and they live. And you can do that. Just do that. So one day I crawled up on that board. I ran to the end and I jumped and I did exactly what I saw other people do. And I lived. I used to go to Rocky Mountain Tower. I was a young teenager. Go to Rocky Mountain Tower. Even took a girl there on a date one time. Petrified of climbing that tower. 50-foot tower. She couldn't do it. And I'm like late 30s. And I said to myself, this is stupid. Because other people do that. And if other people can do that, you can do that. And I did it. When you're doing something like that, you don't trust yourself. You think you're going to get up there, and all of a sudden your hands will release their hold on the rung before you, and you're going to fall backwards. Well, that's not true, because you're in charge of your hands from here, your head. All you have to do is just do it. That's all you have to do. So you just go and do it. There are places that God wants us to move towards, but we're afraid of so many things. But other people have done that. And we need to move towards those things. Listen, God was pretty much telling Ezekiel, this is what you have to do, but as far as the world's concerned, you're going to be a very unsuccessful prophet. But this is what you have to do. It's not all rewarding here. Sometimes the reward is on the other side of here for people like Ezekiel. Chapter 8. What kind of environment? How bad was it as far as what was going on in Judaism? God said, Ezekiel, I'm going to open this thing up and show you what it looks like on the inside. Chapter 8, verse 9. And he said to me, go in and see the wicked abominations which they are doing there. And he's talking about the temple. So I went and I saw there every sort of creeping thing, abominable beasts, and all the idols of the house of Israel portrayed all around the walls. And there stood before them 70 men of the elders of the house of Israel. And in their midst stood Jezaniah, the son of Shaphan. Each man had a censer in his hand, and a thick cloud of incense went up. Then he said to me, son of man, have you seen what the elders of the house of Israel do in the dark? Every man in the room of his idols, for they say, the Lord does not see us. The Lord has forsaken the land. I've opened up this religion to you, Ezekiel. This is what it looks like on the inside. What do you think of that? In the last number of years, I really believe with all my heart, God has opened up a religion. And we have a view of what it looks like on the inside. And it's not pretty. Man doesn't need more religion. Man needs a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. Religions come and go. At one time, there might be a building sitting on a hill and they call it Mountain View Bible Church. And then sometime in the future, it's gone. It's gone. As an organization, as a building, it's gone. It's not about organizations. It's not about buildings. It's about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And either we have that or we don't have that. People are looking for the religion. They're looking for the main thing. It's not there. As a matter of fact, some of it's pretty corrupt. That's how bad it looked. Now, what was Ezekiel supposed to be like on the inside? I just want to go to one place here. When God molds a man, how much can he get out of that man? Case in point, chapter 24. God is going to tell Ezekiel that Ezekiel's wife, that he loves tremendously, is going to die. And then God's going to tell Ezekiel, when she dies, you're not going to mourn. You're not going to cry. You're going to go on with business.
Wow.
Chapter 24, verse 15. Also the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from you the desire of your eyes with one stroke. Yet you shall neither mourn nor weep, nor shall your tears run down. Sigh in silence. Make no mourning for the dead. Bind your turban on your head. Put your sandals on your feet. Do not cover your lips, and do not eat man's bread of sorrow. Verse 18. So I spoke to the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died, and the next morning I did as I was commanded. And the people said to me, Will you not tell us what these things signify to us, that you behave so? How do you get their attention? How do you get their attention? Sometimes when people are dozing, I just go, That does it. They're watching Ezekiel. Signs. And they know Ezekiel. They know Ezekiel loves his wife. If there's one good thing that Ezekiel has, that's his wife. It says so right there in that passage. The desire of your eyes. And God said, Ezekiel, she's going to die. And you're not going to mourn. So he gets up that morning. He puts on his work clothes, whatever clothes a prophet wears. Goes to work. That evening, she died. Next morning, he gets up, puts on his garments, whatever a prophet wears. He went to work. And they said, How can you do that? What's the meaning of this? There's something about the way God looks at the nation of Israel. There's something about that concept that God's trying to get across to those people. It's just another tool that God tries to use to wake people up to the reality. Through whom? Through Ezekiel. Just one of those experiences of life. People's mates die. People get sick. People have accidents. For no reason. But this has a reason. This is Ezekiel. It's a good book. It's an interesting book. We can draw a lot from this book. Can God reach into your life and take out of your life the thing that is the most value to you? I heard somebody say this once. I probably heard it many times, but just once I can remember that somebody said, God can't do that. God can't do that? Is that an oxymoron or something? I don't know. God can't do that. God can do anything God wants to do. There's a bunch of stuff that I can't do, but God can do anything that he wants to do. But wouldn't it be nice if those things in our life that people would consider to be a real tragedy, that God would use that to express himself to people, to make a difference. That vessel would be willing for God to do that and would not hold that against God or blame God, but would just keep on doing God's will. Just keep on working. Just keep on working. That's what Ezekiel did. The book of Ezekiel. How they say that? Swallow it up. Suck it up. I guess the guys that were in Vietnam had a term they used. It don't mean nothing. It kind of took the pain. Just keep on going. It's another day. Ezekiel fought a good fight. He finished the course. He kept the faith. What does God expect from any one of us? Fight the fight, finish the course, keep the faith. Anybody say it was going to be easy? Piece of cake? No, nobody said that. The Bible doesn't teach that. Let's bow in prayer. Father, we thank you for this book. Thank you for this prophet. Thank you for the many lessons that he had to teach, that he's still teaching today. If we listen, we learn something here. But Father, we know learning is not all of it. It's where you want us to go. And it's what you want us to say. That we be open to where you want us to go and what you want us to say. Have your way in our life. I just would want that to be the prayer of everyone here. Have your way in our life. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.